Join Gloria Copeland and guest Billy Brim as they continue teaching on the signs of Jesus' coming. Today, Billy Brim reveals the power of prayer and how God will use prayer as an instrument to usher in the return of Jesus.
Hello, everybody. Billy and I have been having fun this week in the Word of God, and I know you've been watching. Billy's one of our very favorite people.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, it's been my blessing. Just to think about these things is
a
blessing.
It's awesome.
And you
know, stir us up.
We started with the last page of the book where Jesus says, "I'm coming quickly." And so we've been looking at signs of His coming in Israel and in the nations. The signs are prolific right now. But there are some things we're looking for in the church of the living God. 1 Corinthians 10:32 speaks of three groups of peoples: the Jews, the nations, and the church. And the church, of course, is the new creature, the body of Christ. And that body of Christ will be ready for Him at His appearing.
We will.
And we're going to talk about some of the things. Now, three signs were given to my friend, Dr. Gary Wood. Dr. Gary Wood, about 30 years ago, he and his sister were coming back. They were a freshman. They were coming from Wayland Baptist College. They were coming home for the Christmas holidays. They were singing Silent Night, and he heard his sister scream in terror, and they were hit by this semi-truck. It took out his voice box, his larynx. He was a singer. Hmm. And he died, and he went to heaven. Many wonderful things he saw in heaven. And in this book, A Place Called Heaven, he's written it. I'm sure you can get it online from him, or you can get it from us, Dr. Gary Wood.
So he made a round trip.
He made a round trip. And when he went up there, his friend showed him over heaven. He saw the places in heaven where the saints of God look down into the earth and see what's happening here. And just wonderful, wonderful things. And his sister, however, at the side of the road was saying, "In the name of Jesus, I won't let him go. I won't let him go. In the name of Jesus, come back in Jesus' name." Well, David Ingalls wrote the song, "You'll Have to Go Back."
Yes.
She's calling that name. That's about Gary.
Wow.
By the way, Gary now lives in Texas. He goes to the Griners Church. He preaches out a Glorious Way Church. He preaches everywhere and sings, but he still is a medical miracle. He doesn't have the larynx and the voice box.
Sing.
Oh, he sings beautifully.
Oh, my.
So he came back. Now, he didn't want to come back. I think that's one reason why the Lord never let me go to heaven, because I would hang on tooth and toenail. You know, I mean, so anyway, Jesus told him he had to go back. There were things he needed to do. And he said, now, then Jesus gave him three signs of his return. He said, there will be three things that will mark his soon return. Number one, a spirit of restoration. Number two, a spirit of prayer. And number three, you're going to like this one, Gloria, an outburst of miracles.
Glory to God. I do like it. Hallelujah. An outburst.
Outburst of miracles.
Power.
Ooh. So the spirit of restoration, we'll talk about that first. He said that the spirit of restoration will prevail throughout the land. Has there ever been a time in history that we need the Lord to send a spirit of restoration more than now? And he talked about between brethren, between brothers.
Good.
And he said, God is going to start sending people in your pathway, people who have offended you, people you may have offended. You're going to have to make a choice.
Hmm.
Either make amends. Forgiveness is a must if you want to walk in the fullness of God.
Choose forgiveness.
Or you can let bitterness and anger defeat you. So he wrote about that. Now, spirit of restoration. Now, spirit of prayer. Oh, do we ever see that? Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We have live prayer every Wednesday. People from all over the world pray together as we stream that prayer meeting. It is so easy. Our prayer meeting that we're going to have in October. And you come there at Prayer Mountain meeting in October when we meet there at the Hilton Convention Center, several thousand people, and then we go out to the grounds and have a tent meeting. But it's prayer. They're prayers. They pray.
Yes.
I'm telling you, last year on Sunday night, I've never seen anything like it. That whole crowd, which was thousands of people, and people have gone back and watched that on DVD. We can send it to you, DVD. thousands are just laid out, and it's quiet, and the spirit of prayer is on them.
Praise God.
Now, here's what Jesus said to him. There's going to be a spirit of prayer. It's a sign of his coming. We see it everywhere. It's easy to get people together to pray now. While I was with Jesus, he showed me the earth. It was like I was looking at the pictures the satellites send to us on earth from the satellite. Only the earth was encircled by three rings. Inside the first ring, the earth's atmosphere, I saw hundreds of evil spirits. This is Satan's domain. The evil spirits would target people and try to deceive them. If the people would accept the lies as truth, many more demons would swarm in like flies. Mm. They would then begin to fall to the temptations of the flesh by allowing the demons to control them, and their lives would begin to fall apart. The demons have power to make people lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery, speak evil against one another. It was like the people became puppets on a string. Then Jesus showed me that when a child of God got down on their knees before him, praying in the name of Jesus with faith, their prayers would shoot into the heavens like barbed arrows. An army of angelic forces would appear prepared to battle for battle to destroy the demons' effectiveness. The more prayers of faith there were, the demons would retreat. But if doubt and unbelief were spoken, the demons would begin to overcome. The Lord showed me that as time grows closer to his return, demon activity will become more rampant. Satan knows that the final curtain is being drawn and that his time is running out. Mm. Millions of demons and their satanic powers abound all around us. And then he talks about putting on the whole armor of God, praying, and the spirit of prayer. Ian Bounds, they've taken several of Ian Bounds' writings on prayer. People know what a great man of prayer he was. And purpose in prayer. I'm going to just read to you some things from the first chapter in this book. The force that shapes the world. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock in heaven by which Christ carries on his great work upon the earth. Great throes and mighty convulsions in the world have come about as a result of these prayers. The earth is changed, revolutionized, angels move on more powerful, more rapid wings, and God's policy is shaped when the prayers of his people are more numerous and more efficient. Don't you know we've been talking about what's happening on the earth, what's happening with the nations, what's happening all around
Stirring.
Israel? It really, really depends right now on the prayers of the saints. God and his angelic forces are able to move with alacrity better when the saints pray. So the spirit of prayer, it's now here. The life of the church is the highest life, and its office is to pray. Its prayer life is the highest life, the most fragrant, the most conspicuous. When God's house on the earth is a house of prayer, then God's house in heaven is busy and powerful in its plans and its movements. His earthly armies are clothed with the triumphs and spoils of victory, and his enemies are defeated on every hand. God shapes the world by prayer.
Praise God.
The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, and the mightier the forces against evil everywhere. Prayer, in one phase of its operation, is a disinfectant and a preventative. It purifies the air. It destroys the contagion of evil.
Praise God.
The very life and prosperity of God's cause, even its very existence, depends on prayer. And the advance and triumph of his cause depend on one thing that we ask of him.
Yes.
The believer who is the, I'm just picking little parts out. The believer who is the most highly skilled in prayer will do the most for God. Men are to pray for the advance of God's cause. The one who can wield the power of prayer is the strong one, the holy one in Christ's kingdom. He is one of God's heroes, God's saints, God's servants, God's agents. Maybe you're out there and you never preached a sermon, but you can get down on your knees and pray.
That's the
and
truth.
God, through your prayers, angels can work. God can bring about the best out of these days, which are challenging. It can be the best for someone, maybe a life saved somewhere. But Gary was told it's going to be an outpouring of prayer.
Praise
and I'm
God.
Telling you, let it fall on me. The secret of success in Christ's kingdom is the ability to pray. That's why he had to pour out a spirit of prayer.
That's right.
Because he's working right now. Satan wants to get his way, but God wants his way, and we're praying saints. Now, going to be another thing. Three signs, remember, he was told? A spirit of restoration, a spirit of prayer, and an outburst of miracles.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory be to
Praise God.
God. The third That's thing great. Jesus told me is it. There will be a supernatural release of miracles.
Yes, Lord. We receive it. Supernatural. Remember that. Supernatural release of miracles. We're asking for it. We're believing
for it. We're believing for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. He begins to tell here of many, many things that he's seen happen. People raised from the dead. As he's come back and miracles have worked in
his
life. He's
had many people raised from the dead.
He's had people, I don't know how many, but he's had people raised from the dead. But you know, we've been in this glory and we've been studying these things. And that's why we offered this week Lillian B. Yeomans on healing. It needs to be in your thinking that it's God's will to heal.
That's right.
That
Absolutely.
He has provided healing for you in the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Read Isaiah 53. That's right. Could have healing. And then, of course, in that psalm, that's a type. It's a type, Psalm 105.
You know, I was just going along
you go
in my business, married to Brother Copeland, helping him, support him. And the Lord said, I want you to have a healing service in every meeting.
Why do you think he did that?
Because he wants people healed. I don't know why he asked me to do it, but I know his motive was he wants people healed.
And Gloria, he told you to have a divine healing meeting. And you started, and you didn't have any previous experience.
No, I was kind of timid.
You were timid.
I got over it.
You got over it. Boy, did you get over it. But you started. And then when do you have
Put your foot in the water.
When do you have these meetings?
We have them on Saturday mornings of our meetings. And then, in churches too, but every Saturday morning we have healing service in the meetings.
And you've had that now, and let's say Southwest Believers is coming up July 4th, I think it begins, or somewhere around in there, and you're going to have this healing meeting, but I believe it will happen before. But in that healing meeting for sure, because he gets things ready. He got you ready.
Yes, he did.
He's got the people ready. We've been hearing about healing for years. We now believe it.
Yes, amen. Believers are supposed to be laying hands on the sick.
Believers are supposed to be
Not
laying hands
creatures.
On the sick. And there would be an outburst of miracles. Outburst of miracles. It's like Brother Hagin always said that this was the definition of miracles. It's a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. It could be the ordinary course of nature, let's say, that you got a healing from something. You could wait it out, pneumonia, let's say, before they had any antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather died of pneumonia. Yeah, because in those days, you know, you had to get a certain place. And it could be a natural course that the body would heal. Lillian B. Yeomans talks about that in her book. She was a medical doctor, and she talks about being well acquainted with the physical body. She is very impressed with its ability to heal itself, which God put it in there. So that's the normal course of things, normal course. But a miracle is a divine intervention.
Speeds it up.
You come there, you're in a coma, you're on that bed, but this miracle comes in and you are raised up like this.
Amen, that's right.
Immediately. And in your own study of healing, what are some of your favorite scriptures?
Well, the key thing about healing is it's already been taken care of.
That's the key.
Jesus himself, the Bible says, bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Just like he carried our sins, he bore our sickness and disease. That's all under the curse. Curse of the broken law. And Jesus bore the curse for us. So it's a done deal. But if we don't have faith, if we don't have the faith to act and receive Jesus as Lord, we can go through life and not be born again.
That's truth.
And if we don't have the faith to believe the Word of God that Jesus took care of our sicknesses and diseases, we can die young of sickness and disease.
Even if you're a Christian?
But yeah, absolutely. But Jesus has given us the Word of God too, so that we don't have to stay ignorant.
No.
And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you can be healed anywhere at any time that you'll go to that scripture and say, I receive that and I take it to myself. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
You know, Brother Hagin, he always emphasized exactly what you emphasized, that to receive your healing, you need to know that it's already done.
That's right.
That you don't put it into the future. And I have seen people who would say something like this. I wonder why Jesus doesn't come by and heal me.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get their healing. One person even said, I wonder why Jesus doesn't come by and heal me as he did before.
Right.
So you might have a time when just the presence of the Lord came down on you and you received a healing. But this person that I heard say that was a saint of God that was mature. And I would never rebuke an elder because you're not supposed to do it according mm-hmm. to the Word of God. But Brother Hagin said he had seen people not receive their healing because they pushed it to the future. And that to the best to receive it is to know that it was done for
it's
you.
It's been done.
2,000 years ago by the Lord. And of course, the chapter that tells you that is Isaiah 53. And I really like it from my Jewish to English translations because they get the word better than the King James. They translate the word better. And it actually begins, and the word of God that this comes from is Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant shall prosper. And I'm reading it to you with, I'm putting in some of the words that as they are translated. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And then, of course, it's going to go on talking about the Lord Jesus. He's God's servant. Now, verse 3, and here's King James how it reads. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Well, that's not really what it says. And if you get a Hebrew translation, here's what it's going to say. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness.
Hmm.
Pains and sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, King James says, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's not what it says. It says this. Surely, he hath borne our sickness and carried our pains.
Praise God.
He bore. Sometimes when I have a pain, I say, Lord, you bore that pain. Why should I have to bear that pain? You bore that pain. I have gotten many, 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 much relief from sickness and pain from this very chapter right here. Surely you bore my sickness and you carried my pain. Now, I think they got it right here. I think that they're saying, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. When he was crucified, the people all around, they thought God did it. They understood that. They said, God's doing this. They thought he was a blasphemer. But that's not why. God did do it. Here's why. He was wounded for our transgressions.
He laid on him.
He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
Hallelujah.
Says in Matthew 8, with his stripes, we were healed. Says that in Peter, with his stripes, we were healed. 2,000 years ago, those injuries, those bruises, those stripes that came upon him were for our healing. He bore the consequences of sin.
That's right.
Someone said sin, Satan and sin, with its foul offspring, sickness and disease. So sickness and disease is a foul offspring of that.
It's a curse.
Now, here is one that really, really has given me a lot of blessing. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, here's how the Hebrew reads. It pleased Jehovah to crush him by disease. Can you imagine when he's being crushed under the weight of the consequences of sin, that is disease and death, and Jehovah is watching and he's pleased? Why, you would have to think that he's some kind of a hideous God. But he was so pleased because he knew it was for you and me. And he knew that each one of us he could redeem. Each one of us he could save from paying that debt.
From the whole curse.
From the whole curse by one man living that life that he lived. And the pleasure of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love this too. The pleasure of the Lord, and when the Hebrews translate it, they put, the purpose of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Mm-hmm. He travailed, his soul travailed for us. And when we receive our healing, when we receive him in salvation, then he has a notice of satisfaction. He shall be sated with seeing, it says in the Hebrew translation. Sometimes I say to the Lord, oh Lord, be sated with healing, with seeing me healed. Be satisfied.
Yeah.
See in me this healing so that you can be satisfied with what you did for me. And it says that he shall bear our iniquities. He bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. He did it. And I do believe that Psalm 105 gives a, it speaks of when the children of Israel were taken out, and it says, there was not one feeble among their tribe. We're going out of here with not one feeble among our tribe.
That.
Now, you can have healing based on this right here. I can have it.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, there's going to come an explosion of healing.
Hallelujah.
And miracles.
I'm looking forward to that.
I would be surprised that there'll be one in your next healing meeting, Gloria, because he got you ready. You had to be ready for when this explosion comes. You had to have walked and grown from your very first healing school. That day, if you'd have had the explosion, you might have fainted. I don't know what might have happened to you. You might have raptured.
Might have.
But he needed you to grow and go.
We just have to do what we're told.
You do what you're told. And every time there's healings. But one of these days, it's going to be an explosion.
I'm believing that. I receive that from the Lord.
And it could be because look at all the signs around us.
Yeah.
We've seen the signs. We've watched them this week. We've seen the signs.
It's got to be. There's got to be a manifestation of power and gifts of the Spirit
there has
for
to
the
be.
End.
And we're looking for it right now. The prayers are praying on it.
Glory to God.
Amen. You pray for it. We're praying for it. In the spirit of prayer, he's already given us. And we're believing in our time.
Before we go, I'm not going to cut away right here. Before we go, Billy and I are going to pray for your healing.
Uh-huh.
And you take it and you receive it. Lord, you said in the word, you yourself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. We receive that. The same time you bore our sins, you bore our sicknesses and the whole curse. And so right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Glory.
Now, your part is to say, I take my healing.
I
receive my healing.
I am healed.
Hallelujah. Now, you get up and do what you couldn't do before.
Praise
Act on
God.
The word of God.
Oh,
hallelujah.
You're healed.
Miracles
Praise
happen.
You for the healing.
Restorations.
Praise
Missing
you.
Parts.
Yes.
Blind
the
eyes. Parts, hallelujah,
renewed
Take it.
Say,
I take my deliverance.
Jesus
it's
himself.
It's mine.
I take it now.
For the sickness and carry
the diseases.
And by his stripes,
I was healed.
I am healed. In Jesus' name.
And so are you.
Glory to God. Billy and I'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, celebrating 35 years in Canada, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Events Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher invite you to the Behind the Mission Weekend in New Jersey, September 16th and 17th at the Meadowlands Exposition Center. Pastor Terry Pearsons will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.
Get your offering ready. Billy and I are going to pray over it. Here's the word of the Lord. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. So we have to see how we're putting it out, and that'll be how we'll receive it back. Hallelujah. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. So we receive an offering on Fridays to help keep this television broadcast coming to you all over the world, which we're happy and grateful to do. And it says, let each one of us give as he's made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. Not just your mind, but you listen to the Lord. Really, you need to sow. We need to reap, and you need to sow. That's where increase comes from. We sow. We're serious sowers. I like that term.
You are
We're serious,
serious
sowers. Hallelujah. God loves, takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, a cheerful, unwilling to abandon, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. I'm married to a man whose heart is in his giving. Hallelujah. He gives to me. He gave Billy an offering. Was that this morning
yes,
at breakfast?
Yes, that was this morning at my breakfast
I'm
table.
I'm telling
there
you,
was
you
some
stay
green.
In our house, you're liable to get an offering. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, that you may always, under all circumstances, whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support. Now, this is, you know, many people are in a hard time right now. Mm-hmm. But we who tithe and we who sow, we're still in harvest because worldly problems don't affect us. Mm-hmm. We're in the harvest. Our abundance comes from heaven. And don't you forget that. Don't let the devil talk you into joining the recession and the problems that are in the earth and the lack. No. We're blessed. Glory to God. We have plenty. I believe as you sow in this offering, you receive 100-fold. Many, many, many times over what you sow. And you pray. Don't let somebody else just do your praying. You get in the scripture.
That's right.
And
that's
you
right.
believe
that's
God
right.
over every offering. Hallelujah. Mother's Day is Sunday. Do something special for your mothers. She took care of you. Now you take care of her. Hallelujah. When you honor your parents, the Bible says you live long on the earth. Thank you, Billy,
Thank you
being
very
with
much.
Us. We've had a great time. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right.